It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Professional sports continue to expand and have become a bigger slice of the revenue pie in Las Vegas. One of the best people to explain this dynamic growth and what it means for the future of the city is my guest, Ron Futrell, named synonymous with sports journalism in Las Vegas. Ron is a veteran journalist and serves as 8 News Now sports anchor and reporter. And you can follow Ron on X at Ron Futrell. And Ron, you have a lot of people following you on X, or used to be Twitter.
I think they're all fake. Probably fake. I don't know. I don't know that they're real, but there's a few.
Well, welcome back to the show for the 872nd time.
I'm glad you've kept track. It is my pleasure and an honor of belated departed casinos.
Yes.
In Las Vegas. Recently, the Trop, for a sports reason, is on its way out the door. I wore my Desert Inn. Where is it at? There it is.
There it is.
My Desert Inn golf shirt that I got years ago from Dave Johnson at the Desert Inn when that golf course was there. It's now the Wynn and Encore are the two hotels that are there. But what a great time that was in Las Vegas when the PGA pros all came to the DI and played there. And it started with the Tournament of Champions in the 60s and then continued on in the 70s, 80s. I got here. And saw them play there. It was a fun golf course. I never played it well. I always that part I struggled with.
But understood.
Ira, today I figured I'd hang out here in the backyard.
No, I think it's great.
With the DI shirt.
Don't forget the golf course at the Tropicana where the MGM now is.
Oh, good point. I played there when I first got to town, and it was the site of the first Panasonic Las Vegas Invitational. I don't need to tell you this, but it was probably 84, 85, and I got to play that course with one of my heroes, Claude Osteen, a Dodger relief pitcher when I was a kid, and so that was fun, and to play that little, it was a nice little course there, hilly, and that sort of stuff. Look at the great courses. Yes, now that's the MGM. You also had
formerly the
Marina, Marina expansion.
Yeah.
We kept that one tower up is what Steve One always called it. The Marina expansion, just as big. And then of course the Dunes had a golf course for years when Steve One bought that and turned it into now the Bellagio. It had a course that wrapped around I-15, went all the way over to New York, New York, where that's at. And back. And so anyway, sorry, I know you didn't ask me these questions.
No, it's okay. But I have a great idea for a business for both of us to get into. We'll be partners. Implosion shirts.
Oh, good point. Yes.
Yes. Desert Inn, Dunes.
The Aladdin.
Yeah, the Aladdin, the Hacienda, Riviera, Landmark. So, yeah.
And soon to be the Trop.
And yeah, unfortunately, yes. Where we both have had great memories of the place, and it's too bad. But now, supposedly, I was reading recently that one state legislator claimed that I guess they misunderstood. I can't remember who it was, but they said they misunderstood the reading of the bill. They probably wouldn't have voted for that funding now. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. But is this going to get off the ground, or is it going to be put on the ground? Is it going to be there? I mean, what do you think from your experience?
Yes, that vote has been cast. SB1, Senate Bill 1, has already been cast. So you can go back and say, I wish I'd changed my vote, and you can placate both sides that way.
Of course.
Oh, look, you can be a hero in Oakland for a little while. if that's what you want. And I'm not saying it's disingenuous. I'm saying that I forget her name as well. But anyway, so apologies to, but it doesn't change a vote. SB1 is going forward. The Trop is going to be removed for the Athletics baseball stadium that's going to be built on that site. John Fisher is going to invest more than $1 billion. That's a B, more than $1 billion into the Strip to be able to get that state of the art baseball stadium there. It will also serve as a multi-purpose stadium as well. 33,000 for baseball, and then concerts that will fit that arena size. Maybe they're it's too big for T-Mobile, too small for Allegiant. Boom, you hit a sweet spot right there where maybe home for the rodeo at some point. Who knows that the National Finals Rodeo might get there and expand more seats from the Thomas and Mack Center. So Vegas is moving in a direction where sports entertainment and traveling for sporting events is going to become, and it is becoming, it already is, a large part of what we do in Vegas.
You said over $1 billion that he's going to invest in that site. And, you know, in the old days, $1 billion seemed like a lot, but given the T-Mobile Arena and given Allegiant Stadium, $1 billion sounds about average at this point for constructing any kind of stadium or arena.
No, good point. You had Allegiant Stadium that was built for, that was a $2 billion stadium there. So 1.9, close to 2 billion. So you've had, yes, different size stadiums for different amounts. It'll be about 1.5 billion by the time it's done. And it might be more, it might be closer to two by the time that stadium is done with what they want to do with it, and cost overruns and that sort of stuff typically happens. It didn't happen with Allegiant Stadium, though, which was sort of interesting. But yes, you're going to have some cost overruns, so it might be closer to two by the time they're done. So that's just what he's investing, is 1.1. He's also got to take care of any cost overruns if it goes above that.
And of course, we're providing a couple of bucks from the public sector as well.
Yes. $380 million. Some of that will be returned in a user tax, meaning that most of that will be returned to the state coffers. And that's in basically a user tax, meaning those who buy tickets, buy a hot dog, go to events there, are going to be the ones that will pay a tax on that. And the state on the hook for about $180 million, which I think it won't take long for the state to be able to get that back in tax revenue. It'll be profitable for the state of Nevada to make that happen and do it. As you can tell, I'm sort of a proponent and a fan of it. I like the numbers that Steve Hill and Jeremy Aguero have put together on this. I trust them in that sense. I don't blindly trust them. I look at their experience, what happened with Allegiant Stadium, and they understated. Or you could say Allegiant Stadium has overachieved from what they guessed it would. It has been, and I was pretty cynical about the $750 million in hotel room tax fees that still has to be repaid. That's still not paid in full. It's going to be over a 20-year period. But it's been very successful. I couldn't imagine Vegas without Allegiant Stadium. I think, Ira, we're going to be here, God willing, 5-10 years from now doing this podcast.
We will.
we couldn't imagine a Vegas without that athletic stadium hitting that sweet spot there and having fans come in from out of town and local fans to be able to enjoy professional sports. I'm a proponent. I like the idea.
With all these increased venues, and this is for also just to explain for listeners and viewers outside of Las Vegas, what happens to Thomas and Mack, which in its heyday was just really the epicenter for a lot of sports teams and activities? So what happens to Thomas and Mack? Is it still viable as a venue?
I think so. I think, well, let's go here. Let's get Rebel basketball going again. Okay. That's the first thing that could help the Thomas and Mack and put that infusion of support. Get the Rebels winning would be nice. I like what Kevin Kruger's doing with the Rebels and the direction they're going. So that, and I haven't liked, as you know, I haven't liked every coach. I haven't just gone and just supported every coach over the years. There's been some I've been pretty cynical on and some I've said so, but Kruger, I like, and I like the direction the program's going. I think, some good things. So that's the first thing. Again, the rodeo, will be an interesting thing to see what happens, and whatever happens, we're 8 years away from the rodeo making a move. If it does, it's still a nice concert venue. It's still a special event venue. Vegas is becoming more crowded. It was the only building in town until the mid 90s. Think about that for a second. It was, you know, it had a 10-year, more than 10-year run of being the only building in town, state of the art. And it, and then the MGM Grand Garden was built, and that became then a secondary event place for concert shows. I saw the Stones there. I've seen many events there, fun concerts and basketball events and different things there. But we, it's crazy when you look at preseason and postseason now, and what is, we have basketball tournaments like crazy, preseason and postseason. Everybody wants to come here and hold their events in Las Vegas over.
Exactly.
Pardon to my friends in Des Moines and Wichita, Kansas, and great cities, but they would rather come to Vegas and have the events here than they will in those events.
Even the USA men's basketball national team usually has it here in Las Vegas, right?
Oh yeah, and that's Thomas and Mack. They're going to play at T-Mobile the game, but they're going to practice at the campus of UNLV, maybe Cox Pavilion or the Mendenhall practice mm-hmm. center, where the Rebels practice is usually where they go. And there's a very good men's basketball team they've got this year. You know, all the big names are going to be here playing on that team. Go through the NBA. And their playoffs are just starting, but go through the NBA and all the players are going to be here for that event in the summertime. So that'll be fun.
A practical question, and this is more from a local's perspective, but everybody else will understand why I'm asking it. With this proliferation of venues, the two key practical considerations, traffic and parking, will we survive?
Good question. And will we survive?
Well, in the sense that, will there be an easy way around any of this, or is it always going to be a gridlock situation whenever?
It'll be heavy lifting, you know, if you go into these events, number one. Tropicana, they're making some improvements right now. You know, the Tropicana thing, and they're destroying Tropicana and rebuilding it. And it's interesting what they're doing. They're going to make it so it's, there's a word for it, but I forget. But you're going to drive on the wrong side of the road. Yes, onto the freeway, on and off the freeway, you go through Tropicana, but it's going to ease the flow of traffic. Utah has a lot of them. If you go up to Salt Lake, they have these interchanges around freeways where you go on the wrong side of the road. And I don't know how to explain it. I'm not a traffic engineer, but I think it's a brilliant idea. And the way that they're doing it is taking some time, taking some effort. The parking at Allegiant Stadium has been a mess in the sense, but still we've gotten used to it. In that you have the Herps brothers that built a new parking garage. It's $100 to park there in their parking garage right by their at the corner of Polaris and Russell. So there's some other, I think some of the parking is going to be worked out and better. People are learning to take the Ubers, do the rideshare stuff, and just take an Uber there and Uber back. I haven't done that yet. I'll park because I'm going to this event and I may have equipment with me and different stuff that I'm taking to the game. So when I go to Raiders games, they have a parking area for us. It's a walk of about a quarter mile. It's not bad. It's good exercise for me.
Exactly.
I need that exercise. And so it's a little bit of a hike. Not bad. And so
let's give a shout out to the RTC because of buses that go both to the Vegas Golden Knights games and also to the Raiders games for, I think it's $2. Right. And it's a great concept because you park in a location, you take the bus along with other fans, you get there, you walk a little bit, but not too much. And then you're there. You don't have to worry about parking and getting into the lot and getting out of the lot.
Good point.
The traffic. Yeah. So that works out well.
And I know people that will go to, okay, let's go here scenario. Go to Town Square, which is not too far away from Allegiant Stadium. So they'll park there. They'll have a bite to eat. They'll go to dinner. And they'll ride share to and from to the events from that location where they've had dinner, where they've had a bite to eat. You know, so, yeah, I wish there were more parking at Allegiant. That's one of the problems with it. But there's not. It is what it is. MGM wanted it there because they're MGM and they wanted a free Megadome stadium right there next to seven of their properties. Right. And same reason the Tropicana is going on to the baseball stadium is going on to the Trop site. It's something MGM wanted. And I've got my complaints against MGM when they started that paid parking thing. But they were the ones, Ira, that started that here in town.
I know.
I know. It is what it is. If you're local, though, you go there for less than 3 hours and you scan your license and you can get out. So that,
you got to time your lunches to last about 2.5 hours. So you have enough time to walk in.
Yes. Well, get it out. Do it. Get your meeting done and do it, because I just have an aversion. Bugsy Siegel and Lefty Rosenthal and Tony the Ant Spilotra would be rolling in their graves. Well, the pieces of Tony Spilotra would be rolling. That was a bad joke, wasn't it?
It was, but I understand it, so it's fine.
Would be rolling in their graves today that they've got parking, that they charge for parking in Vegas. And they didn't initially do that for locals. I think there was a lot of kickback. I was on that list of firing back on it. But there's still a couple of places you can go to in town that don't charge for parking. So I think Treasure Island doesn't. And a few other places. So
a lot of the local places don't charge for it either.
Right. You can go to Red Rock, you can go to the local casinos, and they wouldn't dare put that up there.
Then it's all over. So
if they start that stuff, they're finished.
I just thought of an idea from a cross promotion point of view. Do you think with certain major sporting events in town, and they'd have to be special where you totally sell out the venue, but then those that can't get in there can go to the Sphere and watch it on that screen? Do you think that will be an interesting tie? I just thought of that.
I like that idea. I did ask them when the Formula One race was held, I asked them if they were going to do that inside, which they didn't.
Which would be great too. Yeah.
Who knows what the future will bring.
Right.
I also thought it would be, here's another one, show it on the outside, the exterior, on the ball.
Yes. Itself. Exactly.
And they haven't done that yet. Could they at some point? Sure, they could. And it might happen. It could happen. It's going to be very distracting for drivers.
Yeah, but if it's inside, they get extra revenue from people that want to see it that can't afford it.
If it's inside, then they're great. The final four is coming here for the NCAA. Men's basketball is going to be here in 2028 at Allegiant Stadium. So that might be a nice thing for some of the overflow crowd.
Yeah, nice. You mentioned Formula One. So will we have it when it comes back, which it will it be less disruptive than it was the first time around?
Yes, is a short answer. And it will for a few reasons. Number one, they don't have to pave the roads again. They don't have to do that except every 10 years, they've got to pave the roads. They had to do the special paving that you needed 6 inches deep for the Formula One track for the cars to go on the F1 track. So, and when they have to do it again, it will be done in pieces. So it won't be as disruptive. And they'll also get better with putting the ingress and egress of the barriers up, that Tropicana overpass that they put in that was sort of nice, I thought. And they'll work with Betsy Fretwell, who is the former city manager for the city of Las Vegas, has taken a position with Formula One where she's going around and she's working with the local businesses to get them on board with some of the stuff, because they had there was some loss of revenue for some of those places during that time, to work out a solution to this. I believe they will, because the city does that. We work stuff out. I mean, we're not perfect. Things happen. We have to solve problems.
Well, we're not perfect, but we're practical. So in that sense,
Well, and that's why the A's are moving here. Let's go here. Let's go with them. I'm going to get a little deep here.
That's all right.
Having events like these, like Formula One, like the Raiders here, like the Knights, the soon-to-be Oakland A's, coming to Vegas, Las Vegas A's, that's a privilege for a city. It's not a God-given right that you just get these things. And Oakland, I get the impression sometimes of the people there in Oakland that they believe it's their God-given right to have that team. Well, it's a privilege, and you earn it. And Oakland has, by virtue of three teams now leaving, they've lost the Raiders, they've lost the Warriors basketball team, went over the bay to San Francisco, and now the A's coming here to Las Vegas. They've got some issues bigger than losing sports teams in their city that they need to correct and they need to fix. I don't know that they've got the temperature to do that. And if they don't, they don't. But they should get the message at some point that the teams don't want to be there. Major League voted 30-0 for the A's to leave. The Players Association voted for the A's to leave. So at some point, get the message. Now they're coming to Vegas where we can work things out. We make things happen. I'm going to use the word progressive in its real sense. We're a progressive city. This is we have progress. And right. This is the word right. That it means. Oakland right. likes to call itself a progressive city, but they ain't progressing. Politically, they'll call themselves a progressive city, but where's the progress?
Right. And there's that public-private partnership that we excel in Las Vegas that doesn't seem to be able to be duplicated in a lot of other cities.
No, and it works. Okay, it works because Vegas has the tourism industry to make it work. Kansas City just voted down putting a new stadium in for the Chiefs and for the Royals, so they're going to have to work out another option. Phoenix just voted that down, same thing, to put a stadium for their hockey team. Now they're moved. As a result, that team is the Coyotes. They're moving to Salt Lake City, where an owner is going to build. They got the Delta Center, but eventually a new stadium will be built for the hockey team up there as well. So, my point is that they don't always work in other cities as well. It's hard to see that, and there's some studies done on this. The cost benefit of having a large stadium in your city is not as big as what people think, because the money just gets circulated around. Vegas is different. The money doesn't just get circulated around. It comes in from out of town to a large degree, and that money stays in Vegas. Or you could say goes to the stockholders of MGM. Okay, I get that. Still, it's what we need to fuel the city.
What's invested in Vegas stays in Vegas, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, you can, again, the corporate, and we all understand how that works, but it doesn't go back into our pockets. But the people that work here and serve here, the people that get the tips here, the people that that work in the casino industry and that sort of stuff, they see benefit from that. I mean, shut it off and see what the city does.
Yeah. We're in trouble. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
We're
right.
We're in trouble. Yeah. But you look at Raiders games late in the season, a couple of years ago, Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, complained because he saw so many Kansas City Chiefs jerseys at a Raiders game and Niners jerseys at a Raiders game. Well, that's money. Okay, I get that. First of all, make your team better and the locals will keep their tickets. No, they will. They won't sell them down at counters. But the team's struggling that year. And so they struggled every year they've been here for the most part, made the playoffs once. But take that, that's revenue for the city. Those people are traveling here, staying in local hotels, spending money here, going to restaurants, and doing what we do in Vegas. And that means a lot. It's our lifeblood financially for this.
Yeah,
city.
They're paying room tax, they're paying a sales tax on stuff. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And back to Formula One, there was, I think the estimate was close to $80 million in additional tax revenue. And that's not nothing, folks. That goes to the state coffers that they hadn't had on, by the way, a slow weekend. Ira, you know this. The weekend before Thanksgiving traditionally has been the slowest weekend in Las Vegas.
Right.
And now it ain't. No, not anymore. You got Formula One coming to town and a lot of rich Europeans spending a lot of money here. Work out the issues, which we will, and this will be, as far as the eye can see, this will be a great event for Las Vegas. I'm not on board with the people that say, oh, it's just causing the pain, it's all the traffic and the pain and the noise. If we don't have noise and traffic, we're Wichita. Sorry.
That's the thing. I try to remind people that we're in the middle of the desert and all this stuff is going on in the middle of the desert. It's just always amazing, even now to me, that you're in the middle of the desert and you've got all this stuff going on, not just Las Vegas and entertainment and seafood somehow appears in the middle of the desert for your dinner at the gourmet restaurant, but you've got all these sports teams and stadiums and arenas and conventions and special events. And it's amazing to me even now. So I have that sense of wonder even now that all this goes on and not in a vacuum, but just in the middle of a desert.
And not by accident. It's not organic. Like you said, none of this is organic. This is all created. And this is what we did. That I don't know what the vision of the founding fathers of the city was, if it was this, but certainly it's taken off since Bugsy built the Flamingo and then paid with it by giving his life by being executed in Beverly Hills.
Right. Which we're not laughing at, Ron. We're not laughing at it.
We're not laughing at it. It's part of it's now been, you know, it's been 70 years, 80 years. So, but it's just crazy how what this has come in the time that I've been here 40 years, by the way. You've been here how long, Ira?
In 78.
78. So there we go. Almost 50 years. Okay. You're coming on 50 years before too long. And it's just remarkable the changes that we have seen in this city. But, you know, even the newcomers that come here, they will be here 10 years and they'll go, oh, look at all the changes.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get it. I get it. Old Vegas ain't coming back. Okay.
No, it's not coming back.
There are parts of it that you and I both love. Right. I love going to a Mater D and giving them a good tip and getting a better seat. I love the comps that I could get over the years here, the freebies to go and there when I'd walk through a casino and somebody would hand me their card and say, hi, Ron, let me know if you need anything. Yep. And I enjoyed going to shows. I enjoyed going to great dinners and stuff. That now has changed. It ain't working like that. You got to gamble there to be able to now get some of those benefits and stuff. So it doesn't happen the way it used to be. Yes, it is more noise, more traffic, more congestion. But I think most of the people that complain about the congestion on the Strip are hanging out in Henderson and Summerlin most of the time. going there.
Yeah, they don't want to get anywhere near there.
I heard on the news there's a lot of congestion. Look at all the traffic there. Okay.
Before I let you go, you got to let me know your prediction on, do you think we're going to get another Stanley Cup? And I know it's a little ahead of the time.
Good question. Yeah. No, I don't think, not this. Boy, there's some teams. There's some great, strong teams there that have caught up to the Knights, I think. Now the Knights, it's crazy to say this, but the Knights might even be a better team with guys like Thomas Hertl on the team now that weren't with the team last year. It's going to take some magic goalkeeping. I don't know who's going to be in net, whether it's going to be Logan Thompson or Aiden Hill, but it's going to take that. Dallas is the first round. The Knights barely got in the playoffs as an eighth seed. So it's going to be tougher. It's going to be a tougher run this year. They're going to have to do it on the road, because he will not have home ice advantage in any series. So all that part is going to be tougher for the Knights this year. So the short answer is no, because it's just so hard. You got 16 teams. I would like to see. I hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong with that. And they surprise me and shock us again for a second Stanley Cup. Then the rest of the hockey world would really hate us, Ira. They already do, because we won too quick and too soon.
Of course.
You see what happens if you win back-to-back cups. Oh, boy.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been veteran journalist Ron Futrell, serves as 8 News Now sports anchor reporter. You could follow Ron, and please do, on X at Ron Futrell, and that's with two L's for those of you who may not know it. Everybody knows Ron. Hey, Ron, thanks again for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ira. Yes, I'd like real followers with me on X, okay?
And I have to conclude by always saying you never age. I always got to put that in.
I got a haircut before, just for this show.
Excellent.
Okay, I sort of trimmed it up quite a bit. But
Well, thanks, Ron.
Ira, thanks for having me. Always appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey,